Steve, you heard some of the comments that Laura mentioned about the role for unions. Do you want to comment a little bit about that?
Thank you. I think, you know, the way we talk about unions today suggests that there are conflicting interests all the time in the nature of the relationship between school districts and the unions that represent their teachers and their bus drivers and their cafeteria workers and all the range of people that run schools, is some based in conflict. And I would argue that there are more common interests than conflict. Even with what we were just talking about, returning to schools, teachers have legitimate interests about how to return. And so I think if we begin thinking about our unions, our teacher unions, as assets, and instead of warring partners, we could solve a lot of these problems more creatively and much faster.
And what, you know, you highlighted the point of the collective bargaining process as in bringing teachers in to make the decisions. Why hasn't that gone national in scope? And what's the tension for that becoming the best practices?
Well, it really requires you to let go of things that have been ingrained in you. That if you were to allow teachers and believe that teachers have one role and management has another, instead of saying, you know, I know from my good teachers, they don't want bad teachers any more than I do, and accept that I'm not giving up power, I'm not ceding authority, I'm actually sharing it, and I'm taking advantage of what my teachers bring to the table on this specific issue. But most of the times they're characterized by years and years and legacy of conflict, as opposed to switching the way both management and unions think about each other and getting past historical conflicts they may have had to a new way of thinking about solving problems and really exploiting the assets that are right there in schoolhouses every day.
Laura, what do you think about Steve's proposal? Is that a viable means to address the issue of teacher retention, teacher firing?
This is Laura. Thanks. I agree with Steve about teachers unions being assets and good partners. And in fact, that's how teachers unions, at least here in California, which of course I can speak to directly, try and approach things. And I should say there's a huge variety across the country around how much due process educators get once they've earned what's often referred to as tenure. Not called that here in California, but the process. There's a lot of variation. So actually here in California, for example, we do have a process where teachers are involved, peers are involved in a couple different ways. We have a peer assistance and review program where struggling teachers can get help from peers and professional development and like. But if there is a formal dismissal of a tenured teacher here in California, and that teacher actually elects to go to a hearing to challenge it, the hearing occurs between a three-person panel that consists of a neutral administrative law judge and two teachers. So we do have two teachers and a neutral who then decides whether there's cause to dismiss. And that's all governed by statute here in California. We don't bargain that. So none of that, in fact, we're not allowed to by statute. We're not allowed to bargain that. So it's not in our collective bargaining agreements. It's all by statute. And it actually tends to work fairly well. We've had administrators speak to this. And, you know, it does, of course, absolutely require administrators being on top of things. I mean, it's hard, you know. It requires administrators as well, you know, evaluating people early and often, you know, doing their job, holding folks accountable. I mean, it definitely requires a lot of, you know, people rolling up their sleeves and taking it seriously. But it does work well here, at least here in California. And I should say, because, you know, you hear statistics, I think maybe Aaron mentioned it, but, you know, about the low numbers, or maybe Steve mentioned this at the beginning of his talk too, the low numbers of teachers who get formally dismissed. At least in California, that obscures, though, a lot of facts. For us, the way it works is that the vast majority, when I say vast, I'm talking like like 95% or more of our folks who are subject to formal dismissal proceedings. These are for these three-person, you know, panels. They settle with a resignation. They don't actually get to a hearing. So you don't, those numbers get lost because no one's tracking that, and because they never go to a formal hearing, it doesn't end up being in that final number of 8 to 11. Huge numbers who just elect to resign. We have our leaders and our chapter leaders often, you know, they help counsel folks, honestly, out of the profession. This is not for you. It's not working out. You know, too bad. That happens all the time. And our real problem, then, if I may, Rick, if I sorry to take up too much time on the floor here, but this segues back to, again, what I think is actually a bigger problem, at least in California, and I think it's true nationwide, and which is that we have a huge teacher shortage. And our, you know, we really need to figure out how we're going to recruit, support, and retain the well-trained educators. And I just worry, and I worried about this a few years ago when there's a lot of teacher scapegoating going on, that are focusing on how to fire ineffective teachers can be a distraction from bigger main challenges we face. At least, you know, here in California, 50% of teachers leave within 5 years. 50% of teachers leave within 5 years. And then the turnover rates are even higher in the high need schools. So in high poverty schools. So we really need to figure out, it's like, if you're a general going into battle and you don't have enough soldiers, you can't recruit soldiers and they leave because they don't like the conditions, and you're going into battle with not nearly enough people, and you know, what's going to be your first priority? It's not going to be, oh, wait a minute, how am I going to release the, you know, 3% of these folks who aren't, you know, effective. No, your priority is going to be like, I need to get more people. I need to retain them. I need to make sure they're well-trained, right? I think it's Linda Darling-Hammond who said you can't fire your way out of the problem.